Well, that music was a bit of a no-brainer, T for Two, except the version's different. This is a guitar and vocal duo called String Space. That serves to introduce the next story, which says that there are many places that sell tea, but very few specialists in tea and tea service. Rita had the opportunity to learn about tea while tasting it. Yugen is Melbourne's latest tea room in a complex in South Yarra that includes a fine restaurant. There are 40 or so different teas and exquisite cakes to accompany them. The person in charge, the tea master, if you like, is Thibaut Scherzville. Rita Ehrlich spoke to him.
I'm here at Yugen, which is an extraordinary new tea place in Melbourne. We'll talk about the meaning of Yugen later. And I'm here with Thibaut Scherzville, who is a tea master who is responsible for all of this. It's a beautiful, dark place that's full of light from the street. And there is seating, there are tea caddies everywhere. Tea is prepared to order, and it's the way you can explore tea and the world of tea. Firstly, Thibaut, tell us what Yugen means.
So Yugen is actually a term used in Japanese philosophy and aesthetic, meaning a profound and a mysterious beauty of the sense of the beauty of the universe. So it's very much the feeling of seeing something and feeling the beauty without seeing it. Is a sense when you're walking in a forest and you have all this beautiful scent as well coming to you. So we want to have this feeling for every guest coming in at Yugen with our selection of loose leaf tea and also of pastry.
And it's about the peace of a beautifully prepared cup of tea, that because as you prepare tea and you're warming the tea cup, I suppose, with the lid, pouring it off into a jug, there's a ritual that's about slowing everything down and focusing on the moment.
Absolutely. It's very much we want people in our modern world to take a moment to enjoy kind of a classic of tea, but go back to the root of loose leaf tea and blend it, and also make them discover the possibility of flavor profile of the 40 different teas we have on the menu as well. And it's very much a multi-sensorial experience between seeing our tea sommelier brewing, but also smelling the leaf once they brew, and of course testing them.
40 different teas, from where are most of them?
So we look with all our partners all around the world. So far we have 10 different countries. Most of our teas are of course from China, as China has the longest history of tea, with more than 4,000, most exactly 2,000 years, but also from Japan, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, that I believe you really like those tea as well, India, from Malawi in Africa, and even Europe, from Georgia, and we even have one from Holland coming.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Okay. We just received a sample not yesterday, so we might put it on the menu next week.
How interesting. Now, how did you get interested in tea?
So I started to drink tea and be passionate about tea when I was working at the Fat Duck with Esther Blumenthal. Back, that was like 6 years ago. And I really got interested by the fact of tea is a lot more when I was there, or just a tea bag. It was very much about having like the ritual of serving the tea on a trolley at the front of the guest. And, you know, checking the temperature of the water and the quantity you're putting in and how long you will infuse the tea, and it will change the flavor. And I find it so interesting as well with the history of it between, like, in China, how it spread around the world, and how, like, for example, the Queen Victoria sent a botanist, Robert Fortune, as a spy in China for like 6 months, disguised as a Chinese person, to actually steal the knowledge of tea as well. So I find that just fascinating. Or behind a beverage, you have such a history and culture and ritual as well.
That's right. And the flavors of tea, according to the location where they're grown, are much more pronounced, even, I think, than coffee or chocolate.
Yeah, and on that is very similar. I feel like the connection between tea and wine is very much due of the terroir, the altitude, and also how the farmer will process the tea. Even in the same area or the same mountain, the tea growing in the same location but processed in a different way to make a green tea will change the flavor profile of the tea. And that's why, like, it's very interesting to see all those different possibilities of having for example, just a green tea from the same location, but with different flavor profile at the end.
That's right. And you get the same thing with Darjeeling tea.
Absolutely.
With first and second flush.
Yes, and also the first, the second, and also the third flush. Or even also you have different flavor profile, but you also have different characteristics and different colors as well, depending on the oxidation level. And like the altitude will very, very much influence as well.
Now, when we come here, and this is only just opened, we're talking, I think, 2 days after you can open. When we come here, we can learn about tea, we can have tea flights.
Yes, so we designed the menu in a way that we want tea and loose leaf tea to be more approachable to people. So we have like the tea a la carte, people can order their little set and we rebrew the tea for them. And then we have two different tea flights. The idea is the first one is to introduce people about the Japanese tea and the terroir of Japan. And the second one is about oolong tea. So we actually introduce people of how oolong, depending on the origin and processing, will have different flavor profile, such as we're trying like a milk oolong from Taiwan, a Tie Guanyin from China, I believe is one of your favorites as well, and also a Dahong Pao and a honey orchid. So it's very much kind of during 45 minutes, make the people understand and try different tea, even if it's the same type with different flavor profile again.
Now, this is an excellent an exercise in mindfulness.
Isn't it?
In,
yeah.
In fact.
Drinking and
it's
not full.
It's not a cup of tea at all.
No.
it's as good as yoga.
Isn't it? Yeah. We blend it together and with a bit of sweet as well, you know.
And there are extraordinary cakes as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. So John Dimitrios, our executive chef, created a handcrafted pastry selection. So we have a selection of seasonal tarts with, of course, at this time of the year, with a lot of berries. Beautiful domo is very much like a mousse with, for example, we have the green teas with matcha and pineapple. He also reinvented our Lamington, classic of Australia, of course, and our handmade chocolate bonbon. All handmade by one of our pastry chefs and hand-painted one by one as well.
Oh my goodness. Now, what tea do you drink with chocolate?
With chocolate, so I personally really like to go for a black tea from China. A golden eyebrows will be really nice pairing because it's very much on the honey and the sweetness. Also, a good Darjeeling of the first flush will be quite good because you have a light acidity to it, but also a muscatel will have more sweetness.
Which goes very well with the chocolate.
Absolutely.
Whereas something dark like an Assam would play to the flavour, but actually the tannins would be wrong with the
absolutely.
Chocolate.
Yes.
Okay, this is very much like talking about wine.
Definitely, and that's why it's like, for me, that's how I was, got more and more in love with tea, the possibility of flavour profile, but also with pairing. When I was at Vue du Monde, we used to do the tea pairing as well with every courses, and we want to do that in the future here with every tart we are doing as well.
Oh, how interesting. And it's interesting that I think of Chinese tea houses and the tea houses in Hangzhou, which were beautiful, but they were served savoury food rather than sweet food. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of sweet food with tea. It's much more in keeping with the tradition of afternoon tea,
which
is about sweetness and about that pause in the day that revives you, that enables you to kick on till midnight.
Midnight and a bit of tea, a bit of pastry and ready for some wine and cocktail. You know?
That's
but
right.
It's funny you speak about afternoon tea because we will be launching our afternoon tea actually next week. So you can tea by afternoon tea will be coming in, and we also will be doing next month's opening for dinner with a selection of tea cocktail and dessert degustation as well.
How very interesting. Do you have a favorite tea, or do you have favorite teas for different moods?
Ooh, I think the second one is much better. I like very much and love all teas, but I will say on the morning I really enjoy a beautiful Assam or Sri Lanka to give you the little boost as well. Then I will follow on a green tea on the early afternoon. It brings this nuttiness or kind of grassiness or CBD character from a Japanese green tea, or even a matcha. A bit more caffeine. And I will enjoy, we say, a dark tea or aged tea, such as Changpur, or is actually a green tea which has been compressed as a cake and aged for multiple years. So it's kind of a post-fermentation during the years of aging. And this will bring a lot of caffeine kind of as well, but also like natural flavors such as vegetal touch, hay as well. It's very much a walk in a forest sometimes.
Fabulous. Thibaut, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so
much. And we will follow the progress of tea here and Hugin all together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rita Ehrlich there, speaking with Thibaut Scherzville of Hugin, a new tea room in Melbourne.